Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lenny Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. I have no idea what number we're on. Lee said something about episode 300 coming soon next week. It is coming soon. I can't tell you how soon or how far away, but it's not really on my mind right now. I got like 98 events that I want to get through tonight. Bare Knuckle went down, Bare Knuckle 41. That was the first one I've ever watched. That was incredible. We got UFC 288 this weekend. You know I'm pumped. You know I'm pumped for that one. Lee says that, you know, we're going to find out at some point that, you know, me and Aljamain Sterling are somehow friends or we're somehow related, which we're not. But, yo, that's one of my guys, though. Aljamain Sterling, that's one of my guys from the beginning. I've been watching him for a minute, just like Bilal Muhammad, who, ironically, he's in, I think that's the co-main event, and he's another one that I've been watching since the beginning. I remember watching Bilal Muhammad when he was a nobody. I was like, damn, you know what? This dude's pretty dominant. I kind of like watching this guy. So that's pretty cool. I get, you know, we're going to get both of them in the cage this weekend, so that's going to be epic. But, yeah, a lot of things to talk about. Lee, you out here, bro?
Yeah, I'm here, bro. What's going on?
Let's go, man. How you doing tonight?
I can't complain.
It's good. Yeah, man, we got a lot. Hold on, I'm going to just pull the studio up real quick just in case we get any callers on the line. Y'all know I be neglecting the studio a little bit sometimes, but we in the studio right now. All right, let's get it. So, yeah, BKFC went down. That, like I was saying, that was my first bare knuckle event I've ever watched. And I've been trying to mix it up. Me and my boy have been getting into watching some of these other events lately. You know, it gets a little bit, I don't know, we just been wanting to try more. You know, there's been more interesting fights that have been going down, and you know, we've been finding ways to watch them all. You know, find a stream here or there, or you know, pay for the UFC, and then we get the other one on the stream, wherever it is. So we've been making it happen, and just checking out what else is going on. We had obviously Tank and did we talk about Tank and Ryan? Talked about it last week. Right?
Yeah, we talked about them last week.
Yeah, so, like, we had that one, not this past weekend, the weekend before. So, like, you know, we checked out that. We checked out Bellator Hawaii that weekend. We checked out UFC was on that weekend. I think that was Blaze and Sergey Pavlovich. Then this weekend, this past weekend, we had just Song Yadong versus Ricky Simon in the main event going down UFC. And we had BKFC as well. I want to say Cage Warriors and a couple others. There was definitely some other ones. There's always a lot on. But, yeah, either way, we've been tapping in some more, checking out what's out there. And man, the BKFC card was super dope, but I just where do you want to start at though? I could tell you about that. We could talk about this Song Yadong versus Ricky Simon. I don't know if you saw the fight. Where do you want to start at?
Yeah, I saw it. Let's start with the bare knuckles. I mean, you've been super amped about it.
Yeah, so let me tell you something. So I've been with you the whole time, and about, you know, it's, I've had my takes about bare knuckle, but I never really had watched an event, though. So I think that's kind of the difference maker of it. You know, I've been saying the whole time, like you were saying to me the other day, it's like it's kind of barbaric. You know, we both kind of have that. And it is brutal. You know, it's a bit brutal because especially when you see, I mean, you see guys after they fight in the UFC, sometimes they look banged up, but not the way it's really not the same as with bare knuckle. These guys, you know, the way they look after the fight, like they're really getting banged up. And I think, you know, it's a different type of damage that you're taking when you have no gloves. And because there's really no padding on the punches. If you're getting hit with a shot, that's you're getting hit clean with the shot. There's nothing between you and Eddie Alvarez's fist when he was fighting Chad Mendez. It's like, you know, you can't be saved. So It is a little bit brutal, but I think you just got to watch an event. I think that's what it comes down to, and I just felt like that one was the one because I had to watch it. I mean, they had some fights I really wanted to see on there, and Eddie Alvarez and Chad Mendez, that was – I'm pretty sure they got performance of the night or fight of the night, however they – I'm not sure what they call it in BKFC, but I'm pretty sure they got that. I think they got fight of the night, and that's a fight that if – I figure you didn't see it. You got to watch that. Like, I'm gonna find that on YouTube or something for you, and I'm gonna send that to you because you got to watch that. the Eddie Alvarez and Chad Mendez was a banger, bro. That was a banger. Those dudes, and the craziest thing about it was, and the event in general is, you know, it's so funny. You two guys that Conor McGregor has fought both guys. He was right there ringside, and he was pretty much giving pointers to both Eddie and Chad during the fight. They were saying, like, he was basically coaching both of them against each other, and there's actually a video out there. This was dope. This was super dope how there's a moment in the fight where Eddie threw an uppercut at this at a certain time, and you could actually hear McGregor was like, shouting. He was, like, coaching from ringside, and he's shouting out at these guys, and you can hear him say, throw the uppercut, and then Eddie threw it right after he said that, so Eddie could obviously hear him, and then he lands on Chad, and it was a good shot, and then right after he lands, you see Eddie, he turned his head, and he pointed, he kept his head forward, but he pointed to where McGregor was in the crowd, so it's like, I was like, I heard you, appreciate that moment. And I thought that was super dope, man. I'm like, because, you know, I love to see that type of shit. I love to see the camaraderie between these guys, you know, whether y'all have fought or whatever. Who cares? Like, I love to see the after, you know, and showing love like that, you know. And the same way McGregor went to the Ryan Garcia's locker room after that and giving him the talk. Like, I thought that was so dope. But, yeah, BKFC, yeah, that Eddie and Chad fight was incredible. Mike Perry did what he was. What I was supposed to do, what I expected him to do versus Luke Rockhold, and he really didn't. I won money on it. I wish I put more money on Mike Perry because I knew it. Like, I felt like that was a lock. I really didn't think that was a good matchup for Luke Rockhold, or even just being in Bare Knuckle, I really didn't think was a great landing place for Luke Rockhold. I mean, I'm sure he got paid well. I'm sure he's happy he got a check, but, you know, at a difficult cost. I mean, he looked... Yeah, I'm pretty sure his teeth were bent up, or I don't know if he lost the tooth. I'm not sure, but there was something like that, and he ended up kind of like literally throwing the towel. But he pretty much like threw in the towel in the second round. And yeah, Luke Rockhold was pretty banged up, but there was some good fights. I mean, besides the early stuff where it was like you had a lot of there's not a lot of technique. Like, you don't really see like. That's why I think the Eddie and Chad fight you would really like, because you could really tell the difference between like these bare knuckle fighters who don't have a lot of MMA experience versus the ones that are fighting bare knuckle that do have a lot of MMA experience, and you could see them almost fighting in a much more, you could not even, you really could see them fighting in a much more calculated, a much more tactical, smart way. You know, when I find you Eddie versus Chad, you're gonna be able to see that. But in comparison, like the earlier fights, see a lot of first round knockouts because it's just they're going balls to the wall, and you know that wasn't, you know, we weren't really feeling that as much. But once you got into the main card, you just had, you know, you definitely had some better fights. So I think it was a great event, and they had you know, obviously Mike Perry, after they said, who do you want to fight, he said Conor McGregor, could we do a face off? I didn't think he would enter the ring. Conor entered the ring with a BKFC belt, which I don't even know where that came from, but he had a belt, and they did a face-off, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like, what are the odds that, you know, the first time I watched the bare knuckle event, McGregor's ringside, and he entered the ring for a face-off, I'm like, I was just like, yo, that event was dope, man. They definitely stole the show on Saturday, definitely.
Three things. I knew Luke Rockhold wasn't built for a bare knuckle. The guy, what he got his jaw broke, what, the last three times that he was in the UFC fight with 4-ounce gloves. So him getting punched with no gloves, I knew he was in it for the money. And like I said on the show that we talked about it, man, just go ahead and become an underwear model, man. We know you got a contract with Calvin Klein or Tommy, some underwear company. Give up fighting, bro. You just ain't built for it no more. Just not built for it. Number two, I heard Chad Mendez retired from fighting due to the injuries he sustained during his fight against Eddie Alvarez. But we have heard Chad Mendez retire before, and then you see him jump into bare knuckles. But the thing about the bare knuckles is you got to be a special kind of guy or girl to do this. This is not for the faint of heart. Basically, you are going to walk out of that fight scarred and bruised up. I saw the picture of Luke Rockhold with his lips split in half. I was like, wow. Wow. So that was disgusting. But, you know, that's fighting, man. You could do that in boxing. You could do that in MMA. But I think you're more susceptible to definitely getting, excuse my French, fucked up and bare knuckles than you are in, like, the MMA or boxing when it comes to just appearance or kind of striking. Then lastly, man, Keys, you gave your boy a pass, man. Well, I'm not going to give him a pass. Why your man Connor always got to hijack something, dog? He know he not going to be fighting the bare knuckles no time soon. Dana White is not going to allow him to do that while he still got a contract with the UFC. I don't know how many fights he got left on his contract with the UFC, but I know Dana White ain't going to allow that. But I get it. You said he was out there giving loaning support and all that. But at the same time, to me, it just seemed like he was hijacking, you know, those guys' moments. But, you know, Mike Perry is an asshole anyway. So, you know what? I don't care if Conor hijacked his moment because I got so many issues with Mike Perry that, you know, we don't even have enough show time to talk about my issues with him. But it's good to see Bare Knuckles doing good as a company. I want to see, can they grow from this? You know, one thing about a sports organization, you want to see your company progressively get better, bigger and better. Think they have become more well-known due to the guys and girls that go there to fight? But can they become mainstream where, you know, people like me that think it's barbaric, that they can drag us in? So, but, you know, hats off to them. You know, I trust your word that it was a good event. You know, I looked at Chad Mendez. You know, after you told me about it, I went and Googled it. I definitely wanted to see why Luke Rockhold quit, but I knew he would quit anyway. He just not built for it. But, you know, hats off to them for having a quality event.
Yeah, man. And it's, yeah, as far as the second part of it, Mike Perry didn't have to Connor into the ring, you know, like that moment didn't just happen on its own. He asked for it to happen, you know, so it, besides that, I don't really, yeah, I mean, him going there and getting publicity, I see what you're saying with that, but as far as the face-off, that's really not, he didn't just, like, enter the ring on his own accord. The guy asked for him to do a face-off, so that's really on Mike Perry that he created that moment.
Come on, Keys, you my man now. So Connor had a belt made for bare knuckle fighting, just readily available for that face-off. Come on, bro.
I mean, you're the one, the other WWE fan. It seems like you know a thing or two about this.
Man,
you know a thing
know,
or two about
know,
these stage moments, man, watching those wrestling
yeah,
fights.
And the only reason I say that as following stage is because Connor knows how boxing works. He knows how the promotional side of boxing works. And what do they do with boxing? They do stuff like this in boxing. They know they don't. I mean, the UFC used to do it, but they got away from doing that, though, having, like, the next guy come in and have a face-off with the guy he might fight next. The UFC got away from that. I don't know whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they did get away from it. But Connor knows how the boxing thing works, man. And he's a smart guy. We can't take that away from him. He knows about promotion. He knows about marketing. So, you know, it was a smart move. But I
yeah,
do think it was
safe. Yeah, for sure. Right. So, I enjoyed it. and I'll leave it at that. Song Yadong versus Ricky Simon was pretty much a one-sided beatdown, in my opinion. Song Yadong looked I'm not going to say like, oh, you know, Ricky Simone, I think it's Ricky Simone. I'm not going to say like, oh, he looked bad and he had a bad night, but it's like, nah. Song is just really good. You know, it's like Song Yadong is very good. I'm not going to do that, you know, because that's not what it is. He made Ricky Simone look bad, you know. We're not going to, you know, full credit, you know, Song Yadong looked very, very good, and he is clearly very good. It's just, I think the next fight that I would want to see for him is, well, actually, I'll ask you first. I don't know whether or not you saw the fight, but regardless of it, who would you want to see Song Yadong fight next?
I'm looking at the rankings right now. What is that? That was Bantamweight. Okay. So Song Yadong is currently number 8, but I think he's gonna move up. Man, Keys, man, you put me on the spot with that one. I would say Song Yadong and Yan. Why not? I mean, Yan is on a free fall right now in the rankings. Song is ascending. So I wouldn't mind saying Song Yadong versus Peter Young or your boy Rob Font. Give me either one of those two for him.
I was going to suggest Song Yadong and Cheeto run it back. I think we need that rematch.
Marlon
That's
Vera?
The one I want. Yeah, I want to see Marlon Vera because they fought before and, you know, they said it was a, you know, there's debate about that decision. And I think now both guys, you know, arguably have gotten a notch or two better. And, you know, Cheeto, whatever, is coming off a loss. But it's not like he didn't, he's coming off a loss to, you know, he came off a loss to a top five guy. You know, and Song Yadong might be a top five guy now too. So let the two of them rematch. I think that's a big fight. I think that's a good fight to make. Yan, he just, I don't really know what fight is there for Yan. I'm not really sure, but I think I like that one. I'd say those guys run it back.
Yeah, man, I can say Ricky Simone, man. His thing in that fight was, he was fighting a stubborn fight. And what I mean by that is the guy is really killing you in the stand-up game. You do have somewhat of a nice ground game. Why are you fighting him in his style of a fight when you are literally getting your ass handed to you? I just don't understand that, man. It's like, you should be fighting the fight to win the fight. And this go back to me and you was talking about John Jones trying to be a kickboxer and kickboxing. That ain't what you do, man. Fight to your strengths. Don't fight to their strengths. But I just didn't understand his game plan. Me and you always say something about 1-1 = 2. 1-1 was not equaling 2 with Ricky Simone's game plan, Keys. It was like, bro, he is basically, I mean, Song Yadong striking in that fight was basically top-notch. And there was nothing Ricky Simone could do about it, except have his face keep introducing to Song's fist. It was like, it was a steady reintroduction all night long. But, you know, man, I think Ricky Simone, man, just need to go back to the drawing board. He's probably going to be still in the top 15. But, hey, man, you just got to fight to win. And you got to stick to what you do. So, I actually saw you down is up to number 7, Dominique Cruz. Him and Dominique Cruz switch spots. and Ricky Simone stayed at number 10. So that's where they at. So, yeah, man, maybe you do get Marlon Vera versus Song Yudong, but if I was Song, I would try to go after the ex-champion. But what does that really mean now that we really see Peter Yan? Was he really that good? Or was he a flash in the pan? So, yeah, man. Song got good skills.
It's difficult now because, I mean, Peter Yan has really fallen, man. He has really fallen. And it's not to say that, oh, the guys that beat him got a bad Peter Yan. I just don't think that he was like
that good.
I just don't think he was the level of fighter that people like that people made him out to be. Like, he was never really that well rounded. You know what I mean? When did we ever see when he was on the mat with Aldo in the rematch? I felt like he looked like a fish out of water. You know, he looked completely out of sorts when he was on the ground, you know, and that's the reason. And that was a huge factor for me in that fight. It's like, how can you say you're the champion or how can you dethrone the champion looking like that? Like, you literally were getting dominated on the mat. It's like, you looked completely lost. So I can't, and it's not like Sterling, it doesn't do work when he's on the ground. This is another guy that I feel like he's landing strikes, and Peter Yan's getting repeatedly punched in the head while he's, you know, getting backpacked by Aljamain Sterling. It's like, you are not the champion if you were getting backpacked and beat over the head and you look like a fish out of water. Like, you cannot tell me that you're the champion if that happened to you. You know what I'm saying? You can't. And it's just – and even in the stand-up, I didn't think that – I didn't really see Yan – you know, I didn't feel like he was edging the stand-up either. I felt like Aljamain was outdoing him in the stand-up. I'm not saying every round, but – Yan just wasn't – he's just not the level – you know what I'm saying? I just think that there are multiple guys that are better than him, you know what I mean, at the top. Marab is, you know, notches above him. Aljamain, I think, is notches above him. And if you want to say, like, pure striking and you want to say, oh, Yan's better in pure striking, it's like, congratulations, but this isn't pure striking. This is mixed martial arts. So
true.
We can get over that. We can get over that topic right there. That strikes 2 and 3 right there in that conversation. The second somebody says that, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, you think this is boxing. You know, it's not boxing. This is mixed martial arts. So if you're going to, you know, say that, maybe Peter Yan should go be a boxer, you know, if you want to do that, and you can go watch him in boxing. You know, that's my answer to that. You know, it's mixed martial arts. So people need to get over it. And it's
– But the thing is, though, Kings, remember the first fight with Aljo? He looked so good in that fight. He was stuffing the takedowns. He had a nice little strike. He had a nice little stand-up game. I don't know, man. I hate to compare anybody to Chris Weidman because we know Chris Weidman is the flukiest champ in UFC history. But that might be going over to Peter Yan, man. Maybe he surpassed Chris Weidman in that category, bro. Cause let's look in the top 10. Who? Tell me one person here beat the top 10. He already lost to Sean O'Malley, questionable decision in my opinion. He lost to Marab. You got Corey Sandhagen. You got Marlon Vera, Rob Font, Song Yudong, Dominique Cruz. He possibly can beat Pedro Munhoz, and you got Ricky Simone. So what, maybe 3 guys in the top 10 he could beat? Maybe. So, yeah, man, I don't know. Man, that's crazy that he might be in a gatekeeper position. Wow. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, I mean, there's always somebody better. And I just think now in the 135 division, the guys you're seeing at the top are the guys that they had been the best, you know, and it just was a matter of time for them to get there. It's like, you can't say that, like you were saying to me the other day that, who was saying it? You were saying it, but then someone else was saying it. They were like, Aljamain's striking isn't that good. And I'm like, I mean, But it's when he fought Jimmy Rivera, this is the thing I said to you. I was like, we used to think Jimmy Rivera was that dude. And Jimmy Rivera went on like a 20-fight win streak in his career. And he was that dude. And his striking was very good. Yeah, he was that dude. And his striking was very good. And Aljamain, I'm pretty sure Aljamain, they had a 3-round fight. I remember watching it. I was at the 99. I remember watching it at the bar. And I remember seeing Aljamain beat those 15 minutes. I don't even remember him shooting a takedown. Maybe I could be wrong, but I remember seeing him outstriking Jimmy Rivera for that fight. I felt like he was outstriking him that whole fight. So it's, you know, we can say that he's not that good of a striker, but I mean, he must be pretty good because he's beaten these guys that we think, like a Peter Yan that, you know, people say is one of the best boxers in the UFC. He's beaten him. He's beaten all these guys. So, you know, how bad of a striker can he be?
I don't think I said he was a bad striker. I just don't think that his striking is at a level where it scares an opponent. You know, I don't think an opponent comes in and says, "Whew, man, I'm gonna have to watch this or I'm gonna get knocked out." I just don't think that's how most opponents approach that fight. But yeah, he did beat Jimmy Rivera. Trying to pull up the stats right now. Damn. Yeah. But man, this fight though, Kings, I think this is gonna be the hardest fight that me and you ever had to predict between Cejudo and Aljamain Sterling. Man, as we doing this show, I still don't know who I'm going with.
Yeah, I just, you know, my thing is right now, and it is extremely hard to pick because a lot of these fights are like super 50-50 fights. It's really difficult. It's really difficult. I'm going to be betting this card as well, and it's extremely difficult to bet this card. But I'm doing my analysis, man. I've been doing my analysis. I do my analysis throughout these fight weeks now. You know, I try to break down the fights, and not I try, I do break down the fights, and it's there's some of these guys that just they can paint the picture so well and give you all the aspects. That's why I like listening to, ironically, Henry Cejudo. I love watching his videos, and he breaks down a lot of these fights. I was listening to his breakdown of Gilbert Burns and Bilal Muhammad last night, and Dan Hardy. You know, we mention him on the show a lot, and he's another one that I've always liked to watch. He has like some different channels that he hops on now and breaks down fights, and I've been watching some of his stuff. But yeah, these are like super 50-50 fights, man. We're gonna get to it here shortly. Yeah, we talked song and time. We're gonna get to it here shortly. Do you want to hit talk about Ngannou here quickly, and then we'll jump into breakdown and predictions?
Yeah, man, we got to talk about Francis, dog. What the hell is going on, man?
So all right, here we go. go ahead, my bad.
Keys, bro, I know that this is what we're supposed to do as humans. When we look in the mirror, we're supposed to look at ourselves and be like, I'm valuable. I bring this, this, and this to the table. Sometimes we can overvalue ourselves. What the hell is going on with Ngannou, man? It's like, big man, all right, you never boxed before. You want to get in a box. An organization is willing to let you do that as long as you sign with them. But you want to sign at such a high price that the organization don't even want to deal with you. Man, and this is the part that I'm going to include myself because I was part of the we. I was like, man, John Jones is tripping. John Jones asking for more money, la, 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 la. But at the same time, maybe John was asking for more money because of what Ngannou was asking for. Keys, my man got to start overvaluing himself, dog. I understand that when you get up in the morning, you're supposed to put value on you and your talents. But good gracious, when does it become delusional? I think Ngannou is really, I think I read somewhere where he asked to be on the board of directors in an organization that offered the that tried to acquire his services. That one of his stipulations was he wanted to be on the board of directors. Man, stop. If Nike wanted to sign you to a shoe deal or an apparel deal, you would be lucky to shake hands with Phil Knight. Come on, bro. Stop it. Take off, Keys.
Yeah, so there was a guy on that responded to my post when I posted that. It was like a day or two ago, and I tagged you on it. The guy responded to it, and he proposed that the idea of that. He proposed, because I didn't think about this, and this guy, I forget his handle on Twitter. I would shout him out if I could, but I don't remember it. But, you know, if they are listening to the show, they would probably know off the context. But either way, shout out to you. They said, Keys, one championship is having their biggest event probably ever this weekend. You don't think that Chaudhry, that one is basically lying about having made that offer just to get all this press around them a couple days out from their biggest event in history? And I was like, damn. I was like, and then he said, do you also think that one championship has 20 million to give anybody? And I was like, you know what? You make some good points. You make some good points right there. I don't know. That's a good. I like that theory. That's a good observation right there. And it could be because you do have your boy Demetrius Johnson fighting in the trilogy fight against Adriano Moraes. I think that's this Friday night. So you know, to get yourself in the public eye over what's a pretty big topic right now in MMA would be smart. You know, so I get what they were getting at with that. I don't know whether it's true or false, but I think that's a really, really great observation. And let's just say on the front of it is true, and one championship offered Ngannou $20 million. Bro, Ngannou, is he out of his mind? Has this guy lost his mind? He got hit one too many times, man. He's having, like, amnesia or something. I don't think he, like, remembers who he is. He is not that guy. You are not that guy. You are not that guy. You think you're that guy, and you're not. And even if you were that guy, what he's asking for is not even realistic. That's not even realistic. Like, and a few other people made a good point. They said, at this point, the terms that he is asking for, what it sounds like that he wants, he will really only be able to get if he goes out and creates his own promotion. If you want to be on the board, you would have to go out and establish. You would have to create your own banner. You would have to make your own promotion, probably something similar to what Jorge Masvidal has done with the Game Bread Boxing. You would probably have to go that route if you wanted to get these things that he wants. You know, aside from that point, because I think that's a great point too. The guy has lost his mind. I think he's lost his mind because if he realistically turned down $8 million for one fight, I see people on Twitter talking about, oh, why would Ngannou? You know, it's $8 million for only one fight, and then his pay would go back down. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Why is everyone acting like that's not a lot of money? $8 million? He's not even a draw. He's not even a draw. So what are we doing here? $8 million. He shouldn't even get $8 million. Realistically, he shouldn't even get $8 million. So I don't even know why we're talking about this. How many pay-per-views does he even sell? Is he even the only fight that was a big fight for him was – I don't even know if you can really say – you can say that, but realistically, that wasn't like a mega fight. That wasn't like a huge fight. I mean, I want to say he probably got 500,000 Oh, I think he might have got $350,000 for that, because I remember reading it in that ballpark somewhere. And then I think he got $500,000 in his gain fight, which was his gone fight, which was his last fight. He come up with turning down $8 million in the first place. Where did they come up with offering him $8 million? I'm lost at. And the reason is because he's fighting John Jones. It would be the biggest fight in the game. It would be the biggest fight in MMA to make. And you're fighting the GOAT. And even to get that for – it's so funny because the folks on Twitter, they talk like that's not a lot of money. You think $8 million for an MMA fight is not a lot? Are you crazy? If y'all lost your mind, this is like the social justice police are just coming out on this topic so heavily. Like, there's a certain point where I feel like you are fumbling and tumbling the bag, Migos style, okay? Shout out to the Migos. And you are a bad businessman. Like, he is looking like the worst businessman I've ever seen. Like, first you fumbled the $8 million bag. Then, theoretically, if it's real, he fumbled a $20 million bag offered from one championship, which at that point, that is just madhouse crazy land. I can't tell you anything that can justify that, because you're crazy. It's you're fussing over being on the board of directors, which isn't even realistic to do. You're fussing over having your own sponsorship on the shorts, which isn't going to make much of a difference. If you get paid $8 million, it's going to be way more money than you're going to get from the sponsorship money, as far as I know. And, you know, he wants the health insurance thing, the long-term health insurance. It's like, bro, you're going to get paid $8 million. And you're likely already a millionaire. If my math is correct, and, you know, and he's gone about himself in an intelligent way, which I'm sure he has, you're already a millionaire. Plus, you're going to get $1 million. Why are you fussing about long-term health insurance? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like, I'm baffled. I am baffled. I don't know what to tell you. You turned down $8 million because you're talking about health insurance and having a brand on your shorts. I can't do it, bro. I can't do it. You know, he sounds like he's hungry. He sounds like he's hungry when he goes to these negotiations, is what it sounds like. He sounds like he didn't eat that day. You know what I mean? He's like me when I don't eat dinner and I'm on the show. You know what I mean? That you got to stop, bro. You got to stop. You got to get some electrolytes going. You know what I mean? His vitamin D might be low. I don't know. You know, if you need to get more sunlight. You know, let's get you right before you go into these meetings, because you're fumbling and tumbling all over the place. I don't know where he's coming up with this and really who he thinks he is, because he's not.
Yeah, man. I mean, now one championship is basically, you know, they are a Japanese-based company. They probably offer him $20 million as a total contract. Maybe five fights, maybe four fights, and you get $5 million per fight. But I just don't see why they would lie. I mean, I saw the tweet that the guy, the reply that the guy said. He was like, do you really believe this? What has one championship ever done or said to make you not believe them? They have definitely been, you know, one of the up-and-up companies as far as sharing information and stuff like that. So, but at the same time, when you look at the heavyweight division, we even have a competition over there. So, I don't know, man. But, you know, I don't mind Ngannou favoring the long-term health insurance. I think all the fighters should have that. I think all NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, if you play any sport and you was in it, I want to say more than 3 years, then health insurance should be an automatic. But that other stuff, you know, that he doing, yeah, man, no company is going to give you that. If you're going to negotiate in good terms. You know, and what I mean by that is going there knowing what are meaningful and realistic terms to get done when it comes to a contract. And some of that stuff he asking for is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Like I said, I think he, and actually didn't say it word for word, but I think he's ruining his career right now. And I'm interested to know if it would be more intriguing to him. I'm really interested to know the answer to this question. Would it be more intriguing to him to get – what would be more intriguing to him? $8 million. We're not even going to say the $20 million because that's just – that I just can't even fathom it. So let's just say it was $8 million. What would be more intriguing of a deal for him? And if he doesn't – if he doesn't answer the way that he absolutely – like I would just – I won't even assume the answer. What would he prefer? You get $8 million to fight for one fight. You get $8 million for one fight with no benefits that you asked for versus you get, I don't know, $100K to fight or $500K to fight with all the benefits he asked for. I would really be interested to know his response to that question. I would be very interested to know. Because that's realistically the route he's going right now. I think that's the way he's going because PFL is not going to be able to do all these things that he wants. He's going like down the food chain. He's going down the ladder to like lesser companies, you know, less established, you know, less developed companies, lesser funded companies that just really aren't built to the level. And it's like, you think you're going to get more from them. And it's like, and you think you're going to get paid more from them? Like, I'm just, I don't know, man. He's going to PFL where those guys fight in the tournament or in the season, whatever you want to call it, for $1 million prize at the end. So you might win $1 million. So does he think that he's going to go there and, like, get paid millions of dollars, like, for his purse?
Man, you know, I'm one of the ones that believe it. Don't count another man's money. But when stuff like this comes out, it's like, bro, what are you doing? You should be trying to get generational wealth for your family, not just you, for your kids and your kids' kids. Oh, no keys, man. Hopefully a lot of this is propaganda. But he hasn't came back and rebuked none of it. He ain't came back and denied none of it. So, you know, normally a fighter, when they're going through negotiations and stuff like that and some come out, they're quick to respond either, you know, via interview or on social media. He hasn't done either. So it leads me to believe that the report is true. But, yeah, I would have took the $20 million from one and fought less, because I don't think they got top-notch competition in the heavyweight division. And kept it moving, man. That's $20 million, bro.
Yeah, I mean, bro, it's just insane because I was even talking with a guy and I'm like, yo, you could take that money and roll that into creating your own promotion like Jorge Masvidal did and then give yourself all those terms that you wanted if you really wanted it that badly. But see, this is the point where I feel like he's not a good businessman. He didn't even think about that. Like, it's just... And then all these social justice warriors want to rally behind him like they're making some kind of statement. It's like, you're telling this man to fumble the bag. You guys are hustling backwards. You're not doing anything. Like, you're not doing anything. Like, you're coming out here. It's like, what they would really need is a fighters union like you've talked about many times, which is true. But you guys think that, like, you're getting on the front lines for the guy when you're like, oh, like, don't accept that. Like, be the boss and, you know, turn down the UFC. It's like, you guys are not making the types of executive moves that you think you are. You know what I mean? You're telling the man to fumble the bag. He's hustling backwards. You're not doing anything. You look like a bunch of goofballs, you know, even supporting it. To be honest, that's my opinion. So that's the end of that. I'm done with that topic. You know, UFC,
yeah,
38, we got to get into it. Let's get the breakdowns and predictions. We'll talk more about Ngannou ruining his career maybe next week. Let's maybe get into predictions, bro. Maybe next week, right? Maybe if it's even, you know, if Lee thinks even newsworthy by that point, we'll talk about it. He might have changed his mind, man. He might be done talking about it, man, at that point. I think Lee might be on to, you know, broader horizons at that point, man. We might be done with that.
Yeah, topic. Bro. It's just about being realistic, man. It's about being realistic, looking at the financial situation of the company you with. I know everybody wants to make the most money they can, but sometimes you have to become a compromiser and a negotiator to get deals done. And it just doesn't seem like he's willing to compromise in good faith.
Yeah. For this one here, to be honest, we're gonna touch more on that maybe next week. But as for now, UFC 288. I want to tell you this: is that there's only certain fights that I really want to predict here. To be honest, I'm not gonna go like where we would usually just run through the main card. I don't want to spend time on Andrade and I think it's Jan Zaunan. Jan Zaunan. So I'm familiar with her, and I know the fighters, but I don't want to spend time on that one. I want to go, for time's sake, I don't want to do Krohn Gracie and Charles Jourdain, because that fight doesn't really intrigue me that much. I mean, it's a good fight, but I'd rather predict the big fights that I really want to hear what you have to say about. Movsar Evloev was supposed to fight Bryce Mitchell on this card. Bryce Mitchell, I think he fell out with an injury or something. Now Evloev's fighting this guy, Diego Lopez, who appears to be from the contender series because he's got the gray avatar on Google, and that's not a good sign because you're just having to throw this guy in there, and, you know, he's going to get rolled by, you know, undefeated 16-0 Movsar Evloev, who's, you know, an upcoming prospect. So that fight I don't even think is worth talking about. So we're just going to let those three fights roll off the back. I want to talk about the main event, the co-main event, and then Drew Dober versus Matt Frevola, if you're interested in it. What do you think about Drew Dober versus Matt Frevola? I think this is a banger. And second point, shout out to Matt Frevola because he recently followed us on Twitter. So that's our boy now. So and Drew Dober is our boy too. So this is a great fight. What do you think about it?
I would have Drew Dober on the main card, and I would have moved Krohn Gracie down to the main event of the prelims. That's how much I think I like that fight. I like the fight before that fight with Kennedy and Chukwu and Devin Clark. I think that's going to be a good fight. And then they also got your boy Chaos Williams fighting. So this card is actually all right, you know. But, man, Drew Dober, Matt Frevola. I'm really not that big of a fan of Drew Dober, although I respect him. But I think Frevola going to pull off the upset, man. I like Frevola pulling off the upset, dog.
Yeah, see, the thing is with that one to me is it's like two guys that love to stand and bang, and I feel like realistically I'm leaning towards Drew Dober to win it. And I really thought Matt Frevola was a featherweight, man. I'm really confused about this because I could have sworn he fought at featherweight before or that he was just fighting at featherweight. So I have this image in my mind that, like, he's moving up to 155 to fight to do this. I still think he is. I feel like he is a featherweight, but I could be wrong. Either way, I swear I've seen him fight at featherweight. But either way, this is one of those ones where I feel like two guys with both have very similar styles, both durable, both can definitely take a punch. Both can definitely take some damage in there. And I think it's really, this is 50-50 to me because these are two guys that they like to take damage and they like to stand and bang. I think either guy could knock out the other one at any point here. I think probably the best way it could go, in my opinion, is to go the distance and give us 15 minutes and, you know, give us a fight of the night type of fight. That's what my prediction is. I'm going with that. They give us the fight of the night type of fight, and it's either going to be this one or my boy Bilal and Gilbert Burns giving us fight of the night, because that one's five rounds. That one's five rounds, and I really love that. So it's either going to be this one, I think, or that one to give fight of the night. And I'm just going to leave my prediction at that. But go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, I think Formula is going to pull off the upset, man, but would I be surprised if Dober was to win? No, Dober's a veteran, man. He's very skillful. He could do a lot of things in there. But I think one thing that's playing against him in this fight is the length of the cage. So, but, yeah, man, let's move on, man. What's next on the docket?
All right, so from there, I just want to fly up. I just want to fly up, man. I want to go to my boy Bilal Muhammad versus Gilbert Burns, man. This is a big fight for your boy Keys, bro. I'm going to be locked in during this fight, bro. I might be on the edge of my couch. I'm going to be nervous. Because this is like, yo, Bilal Muhammad's finally getting that fight, man. He's finally getting these guys at the top of the, like, division. He has big wins. He's got top 10 wins, but he's finally getting a fight with a guy that I think could kind of put him into that spot, you know. I think, like, a win here could really put him in that spot he wants to be in, and I also think Burns winning here is going to put him in that spot he wants to be in, because he'd be on a 3-fight win streak in the year 2023 if he wins this. Burns will be 3-0 in 2023. This is Burns' third fight in the calendar year. In 2020, this is May now. So in 5 months, Burns has already fought three times. Isn't that crazy, bro?
That's crazy. And all top five guys.
So
all
I just
top
think that,
five guys.
Yeah, and all top five guys. I mean, Neil Magny, he fought, he finished him. Jorge Masvidal, he fought. You know, he didn't finish him, but he pretty much out. I don't remember that fight that good, but I want to say Burns looked great in that fight. And I think this is such a 50-50 fight for me, bro. And I'm going to go like this. I'm going to give you a prediction. I'm going to give you this prediction, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the way I want it to go. That's going to be one of these ones. I think Gilbert Burns is going to win the fight. I think he's in such a good space right now, and he brings so many weapons to the fight. Any fight, anytime he fights, he brings so many weapons. Gilbert Burns is probably one of the most well-rounded guys in the UFC, if we're being real. You know, if you're being real,
true,
and we're not going to do, you know, hype trains and stuff like that, Gilbert Burns, you know, he doesn't have the name value, so people don't want to say it. Probably one of the most well-rounded guys in the UFC. So I think Gilbert Burns will win this fight. I think Bilal, even though he won by TKO his last fight, and he's been doing better with Coach Khabib. Coach Khabib has been helping him out a lot. He's been doing better there. I think Burns will edge him out. I think we'll see a great fight. But I think Burns will edge him out. And I think we'll see 25 minutes. I think we'll see 25 minutes here. We're getting blessed with five rounds. And I'm going to go unanimous decision in a close fight. I think Gilbert Burns, unanimous decision in a close fight. Likely the fight of the night if Dober and Frevola don't get it first.
Yeah. I'm with you. Man, but it's so hard to pick against Bilal Muhammad, though, Keys. It's just so hard to pick against this guy because he's been very active also. Man, you know what? I'm going with Bilal, man. I'm going to take Bilal Muhammad split decision. Although my heart is telling me Gilbert Burns, but my head is telling me Bilal Muhammad, and I'm going with my head. I think he wins it via split decision. I think it's going to be an action-packed fight. I think it could steal the show because both guys put on hell of a fight. So I'm going with Bilal Muhammad's split decision.
Bilal Muhammad's split decision. It's funny because I was actually leaning towards and sorry for the time gaps, you know, little time gaps here. Now I'm trying to get. I'm not as sharp.
I know what
you're
doing.
Yeah, I know you know that. I'm just saying for the people. I'm not as sharp with my live tweets tonight. Usually I'm almost perfect with my timing, but you know, I'm a little bit off, especially because I'm trying to get, you know, especially like just get some longer quotes there. But either way, yeah, the soundbite is going to be up on the page. So if you missed the show, you get to read, you know, some of our biggest takes from the show. You know, feel free to add us, hit us up on Twitter, let us know what you think about it, or if you have questions. You know, that's always we're always open to that. So, yeah, I was going to say Burns by split decision. You know, that I was thinking about doing split decision, but I don't know. I think it'll be a unanimous decision and a close one, though. You know, I think you'll see – I don't think it'll be like, you know, any 50-45 or 50-40, you know, 7. You're probably going to see like
– Nah, I don't see that either. I think it's going to be close.
I think you're going to have like, you know, some maybe like a lost point. You might have like some 49-48 or, you know, you have like you know, some 50-49 or 50-48, maybe like it's gonna be more like that if you're gonna have it. 50-48 is probably the most. Yeah, that's probably the most because you have 3 rounds to 2. So I could see you know 2 50-48s and maybe like a 50, you know, maybe a 50-47 or something. You know, most judges having it 3 rounds to 2 and then one having it. You know, 4 rounds to 1 and we'll probably be saying after, like, you know, why are these judges not watching the fight type thing. But, yeah. You know, I remember that prediction. That was a very specific prediction I just made about that fight right there. I said it would be two 50-48s, so that's two judges having it 3 rounds to 2, and then we'll have one judge having it 4 rounds to 1 with a 50, what's that make, a 50, what did I say, 50-47?
This is a 5-round fight?
Yeah, this is a 5-round fight. Yeah, they agreed to a 5-round fight. That's why it's like, this one's really about to be crazy. And, it'll be 50-46. So, yeah, the third one will be 50-46, and we'll be saying on Twitter, you know, the night of and the day after, why are these judges not watching? Why are they not watching the fight? I'm gonna be complaining, you know, the next day, like, yo, who is this guy at 4 rounds to 1? There's no way. But yeah, that's a bold prediction.
Remember we said that, man.
I'm telling you. And so at this point, here we go, man. It's the moment of truth, bro. This is big, and this is one that I'm still trying to figure out. It's only Wednesday, you know what I mean? It's only Wednesday, but this one's tough, bro. You want to give your prediction first?
I'll go first. I've been consistent with my analysis on this fight. Both guys are grade A wrestlers. Both guys can fight off on the mat. But neither one of them is known for their striking. The guy that can make the other guy feel his hands is going to win this fight. Which guy is that going to be? I don't know. Man, Keith put me on the spot. There isn't going to be any ring rust in Henry Cejudo. I'm not thinking that because he's been training a lot of the fighters that's been fighting here lately. Wally Jane, John Jones got in there and worked with him. He worked with Demetrius Johnson. So ring rust, that's not going to fly. I'm going to go with Ann Steele, man. I think Aljamain Sterling is going to find a way to win this fight. He has a 7-inch reach advantage. Maybe he uses that to his advantage to establish a jab. So I'm not too confident in this pick, but I'm going to go with Ann Steele, and I'm going to say unanimous decision.
All right. Aljamain Sterling by unanimous decision. You know, we get objective. We try to be non-biased in the predictions, and we do. But I'm happy about that pick. You know, I'm happy about that possibility, bro. And Aljamain Sterling, I'm going to tell you this. I already got money on you, bro, so it's okay. I already got a bet locked in out there. I got money on you, so, you know, it is what it is. Let's go. And this one, bro, I'm going to say this. For my prediction, so to clarify, here's what I'm going to say. So I have a best 2 out of 3 bet, because it would sound so strange if I didn't explain this to you. It would sound, you would be like, what? It would sound so strange. So I have a best 3 bet. And so I'm going to predict that I'm going to be wrong. I think Cejudo is going to win the fight, but I have money on Sterling. That's why I had to explain it. That's what I had to explain it, because whereas the best of three, you know, I have to kind of look at it a little bit differently, and there's other fights, so I can win. You know what I mean? So I had to explain that it was the best of three before I would say that, because you would say, well, why do you have money on Aljamain Sterling, but you're predicting you're predicting yourself to be wrong? So that's why. That's basically why. So it's not like I don't have like a straight 1-to-1 if he loses. You know, it's not that. That, you know, it's not just that way. It's not just weighing on that fight. So, yeah, I'm gonna go. I think Henry Cejudo is gonna win the fight, and the reason is, and I'm gonna explain why. So the thing is that this is one of those ones. I get to the point where I say, okay, it has to be logic versus my heart pick. You know, it has to be logic versus the heart pick. It's like the brain pick versus the heart pick. And this one really isn't – this one, like, leans toward the logic pick, but it, you know what it really is? This is, like, my gut is telling me, you know? This is, like, a gut pick because there's just this feeling that's telling me, like, yo, he's going to be great. He's going to show it. Henry's going to have a good night. You know, that's what my gut's saying. And I was telling a guy a couple of days ago, I was just telling a guy, you could see me on the timeline telling people like, yo, I think Aljamain, and you could see me quoting myself last week on the page. I was like, yo, I think Aljamain Sterling is probably the better fighter. And I do feel that way. You know, I do feel that way. I said what I said. I do feel that way. But it's just on the night, my gut is telling me that Cejudo is going to show us something. You know, I think he's going to show us something special. And especially where, like, you know, relating to what you said it comes down to which guy can make the other, you know, feel their hands. And I think Cejudo's got, he's got pretty, you know, I think Cejudo probably has the better striking, you know. And I think if it's going to come down to that, Aljamain Sterling, great jiu-jitsu, great grappling. But Henry, obviously, Olympic champion level wrestling. You know, the ground, I don't know. I mean, you could – it's tough to say. The ground could even cancel each other. I don't know. This could end up just being a striking fight, you know. And I think if it does, like if Aljamain is to take – like, I'm okay with either way it goes, if you can't tell. But if Aljamain takes Cejudo's back, you know how happy I would be to see my boy Sterling choke out Cejudo, bro. You know how happy I would be? How happy I would be, you know, like that would be great. And I think if it goes there, he's in a lot of danger. I think Cejudo's in great danger. If he's going to end up in the situation Jan was in the rematch, where it's like Aljo on his back and he's just getting pummeled basically and can't really do anything, you know, he'll be in trouble in that situation. But the question is, does it even get there? You know, do we even see the fight get there? Can Aljamain even secure a takedown? You know, so we don't really know that. But I do think, you know, overall, I'm gonna lean Cejudo. I'm gonna go Cejudo. I think this fight goes to decision, though. I think this goes to decision. I don't think I see either one of these guys finishing each other, man. I feel like they're both such high level guys. I just don't think that And I think they can finish each other, but I just don't think it will happen because I think both of their defense is so good. I just don't – I don't see, like, either guy getting knocked out or either guy choking each other out. Like, and Henry's not even really, like, a submission guy like that. So, I just – I don't see it. I think Cejudo by decision is how I'm going to go. You there, bro?
You're here. I'm here. I'm thinking, man. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm here. That might have been a thought to you right there. I know you're probably confused.
Yeah, man. Keys, bro, this is probably the toughest fight we have ever gave predictions on because both of these guys are so, so good. And, man. I'm going to stay with my pick, man. I'm going with Aljamain and Steele, man. Although I'm not 10 toes down on it, but I think he's going to find a way to win this fight, bro. I don't know how, but I think he finds a way. And we come up here Wednesday, and we say what a technical fight we watch, and we break it down, and we're probably going to be like, I wouldn't mind saying it'll go at it again. So, yeah, that's what I'm at, man. I really don't gamble, but I might do a DraftKings. I might, but I think I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to sit back and be a fan of this fight come Saturday. I'm going to sit back, watch this fight, and enjoy it. But I'm going with Ann Steele.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll just, like I said, we got sound bites up on Twitter. If you missed the show, get to see a couple of our predictions, a couple of vox from the show, a couple of hot takes from the show. If you need any clarification on what I was saying about my bet versus the prediction, I can happily explain it. I feel like I did. I tried to do a good job of explaining that.
You've explained it in the past, so. People just got to go back and listen to past shows. I mean, you explained that in the past, so and you ain't got to do that, bro. You good?
Oh, have I explained that? Have I explained it before?
Yeah.
Oh, like with the best 2 out of 3 thing?
Not the best 2 out of 3. It was like when you said, you know, when you do your best. How your predictions or your bets don't always be the same, and why they not the same? You have talked about that before.
Yeah. So exactly. So that's helpful right there. It's like it's to bet something because it's to bet something is not. I appreciate that you remember that. To bet something to me is not the same as because I can't just let. Sometimes they have to be different, you know. I'll just like put it to that. Sometimes it makes sense for them to be different, and like you said, I've explained it before, so we can just leave it at that. But yeah, this one was really tough to do. So you know, it took us a little bit of extra time to get through it. I want to say we had you know a few minutes left in the show before when we were going into that main event, and now it's like 10 minutes over. It took us a little bit to break down that fight. To be honest, I think it could have taken even longer. I feel like we could take even longer breaking down that fight, but we could take even longer breaking down that fight, but we were able to condense it down to what we got it to. Like, we could really go in and, like, deep dive and, like, really look at that because this fight is probably and this is one thing I want to say. I think I had it on last week's show, but I'll say it again. I think this is the highest skilled fight.
Yep.
The last one previous to this was Islam versus Volkanovski. That was an extremely high-level fight, you know, between two beasts, you know, like two guys that just have so many different skills and that at the top in pretty much everything they do. And so that was the last one. But before that, I can't tell you the last time we had such a high-level fight, you know. you could even say like Oliveira and Islam maybe before that, but before that, I really don't know like where you could pin what fight you could pinpoint to say is like at the level of this, you know, like that fight and this fight. Sterling and Cejudo is probably highest skill, one of the highest level fights, you know, pound for pound in UFC history. It's crazy. So
I think you'll be saying the same thing. I think you'll be saying the same thing when Jones fights Stipe. I think that's going to be on the same level as this fight because those are two of the best fighters. The one is the heavyweight GOAT, and one is the light heavyweight GOAT, and they're going to get in there, and there's going to be two Billy GOATs going at it to see, you know, who going to have their face on that left side of Mount Rushmore, dog. So I think we'll be saying the same thing in a couple months. But like my man Keith said, we talked about a lot tonight. We went over, we talked about Bare Knuckle, we talked about Sonia Dawn and Ricky Simone, we talked about Ngannou, and we just probably had one of our toughest predictions that we ever made since we've been doing this show. And just for the record, this is episode 299. Next week will be episode 300. You know, we really don't have nothing planned, but, you know, 300 is kind of a big deal, but we'll figure it out. But, hey, Keys, sit back Saturday, man, and just enjoy what we're going to see in that main event.
I can't wait, bro. I can't wait. And maybe, yeah, we'll have to talk more about it, bro. It's huge. And, yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll end off with my quote that I've been saying. You know, I actually have it up on my Twitter bio now. Life is short. Love each other.
Yep. And with that being said, everybody have a good weekend, a good rest of the week. And we always end the show with a peace.